I'm Jamie Weston. Mama Mia, it's Mike Broomhead.
Oh, that was great. Thanks, Jamie. You made me giggle. That was really funny. Thanks, Jamie. If you didn't see the debate last night, you need to. It was something to see. We are going to be speaking with one of the candidates. We had an interview scheduled already with Karen Taylor Robeson, one of the Republican candidates for governor. We will talk with her at 9:05 about the debate and about other things, as we're always trying to inform you about the candidates. And the website, KTAR.com/Arizona Votes, is your ability to learn about it. All of our candidate interviews are up there. It's a great resource to learn more and be an informed voter. The Supreme Court hands President Biden a victory and allows the end to remain in Mexico. This morning, Sheriff Daniels was on with Arizona's Morning News in a what I think was a very significant and powerful interview from the perspective of a local law enforcement officer, sheriff, on the border. This is someone who is going to be directly impacted by these decisions, but he remains respectful. This is when you hear him talk about him respecting the decision, but what the consequences are going to be. This is how things are supposed to be done in America when you voice your disappointment about something. But listen to Sheriff Daniels talk about respecting the decision.
I respect the court's decision, but we look at the reality of our communities down here in this country. And you look at what's happened since October 1 of 2021 to current time. 1.6 million encounters, 7,500 to 8,000 a day encounters, 500 plus deaths on the southwest border. Mm. Tell me that's not humanitarian on the American side here. 400,000 gotaways on top of the 1.6 million and 157 countries that breached our southwest border. This decision just enhances the fact that President Biden wants an open border. We're seeing it. We're feeling it. We're seeing the negative impact from it. It's a very sad day for us.
And it is going to be a big concern for people in America, as we now have seen this huge increase of people coming across the border, and we think that it's going to happen even more. The deaths that continue to happen and the politics of all of this. He goes on to talk about the frustration and how he believes things are only going to get worse.
We saw the other day when you had the 53 migrants die in the van, speaking to our fellow sheriffs. I was in Kansas City with sheriffs and Border Patrol when that happened. And hearing the frustration, both at the sheriff level, the leadership of Border Patrol, the frustration of what's going on this border, and then to have President Biden's press secretary come out and say, we have a secure border. What an insult to us to wear a badge down here. I was out working last night with my team, my interdiction team, dealing with, they took a smuggler down last night, smuggler driver last night. He's out of the Phoenix area. Within an hour, we're out there towing the vehicle. Border Patrol took the migrants. Within 2 hours later, I'm stopping him again. He admitted that he had made 5 to 6 successful trips here in Cochise County smuggling. There is no consequences on this border, and that's what frustrates the heck out of me. The rule of law is being fractured here once again. And then you look at the fentanyl. I got to throw this in there. Arizona leads the country in fentanyl incidents. We just got an update on that. We are leading the country, which equates to 300 overdoses of deaths a day in this country. So again, the more we neglect it, the worse it's going to get.
So you can hear the frustration in his voice. We had Brandon Judd on, the head of the Border Patrol Union, Border Patrol Association, on with us the other day, and I was asking him about the smugglers. What the smugglers have been doing is using social media and using some of the other platforms to advertise for juveniles to be used as smugglers. And because drug dealers have been doing this, this is an old trick. Drug dealers have been doing this for years. They have kids that then they get them to hold their drugs or mule their drugs, you know, between buys, and they use them as couriers, because our laws are such that when a juvenile gets caught doing something, they get multiple chances. It's not just a second chance. They get multiple chances before they ever have to face the music, knowing they're not going to get in trouble, and the revolving door. So you can pay a kid what is a lot of money to a kid, and maybe even a lot of money to some adults, to take a risk with their lives that they don't understand what they're doing. You know, when you're young, a lot of times you're being saved from yourself by your parents or by other adults, because you don't, you know, as kids, we never contemplated the consequences of our behavior. When we get older, you get a little more mature, and that's what adulthood is supposed to be about. It's why 21 is the drinking age. You know, we're supposed to be more mature as we get older, and they take these young kids who have no consideration for how dangerous it is. So I asked Brandon Judd about that, because there was a story that I was told from law enforcement in Pinal County. And they got into a pursuit with a car full of illegal migrants. They finally got the car pulled over, and it was being driven by a 15-year-old boy, 15 years old. They took him into custody. The Border Patrol took him, and a couple of hours later, an hour later, Pinal County Sheriff's Office got a phone call saying, hey, you got to come get this kid because we're not going to put him through the system. We're not going to book him. And you can't just release a juvenile into the street. You got to release them to a family member. So Pinal County ended up having to watch this kid for a couple of hours until his family came up and got him. And he ended up spilling his guts and saying that he had been arrested four times for smuggling people into this country and had never, ever been booked. The reason why, and when I talked with Brandon Judd, he explained that you're going to book someone, you've got to get permission from the Department of Justice to whether or not they're going to prosecute. Listen to this. This is Brandon Judd explaining. I asked him why the Border Patrol, because he's with the Border Patrol, why would you arrest somebody four times and then not put them through the system? Are you just shorthanded? Here's the explanation.
The only time that they'll prosecute a minor is if, you know, there's a death in the vehicle or the minor flees from law enforcement, causes a vehicle accident, and there's some serious bodily injury or death. You know, at that time, they'll consider prosecution. But very, very rarely, again, almost 100% of the time, they will not prosecute these minors. They know that, and that's why crime continues to escalate here on the border.
In southern Arizona, the vice president of the Border Patrol Council, National Border Patrol Council, said there are scouts throughout all of those hills. This is southern Arizona. It wouldn't even be far-fetched to say that there's individuals up there right now watching us where as we are sitting. And I've talked with Pinal County Sheriff many times, Mark Lamb, and we've talked about Vehicle Valley. We've talked about that part of Pinal County where, you know, and we've talked about this, the tribal land borders Mexico. It actually straddles Mexico. So the northern border of the tribal land is the southern border of Pinal County, and that's where a lot of these drug traffickers go through. And signs up in Vehicle Valley or in Pinal County, 80 miles, somewhere in that range north of the border, warning saying, hey, this is a known drug corridor. Don't stop for abandoned vehicles. Don't approach abandoned packages. Don't pick up hitchhikers because it's a drug corridor. And the conversations about how they watch law enforcement, how they have scouts on the hills that are up there for days and weeks at a time, and they have two jobs. One is to maintain surveillance on law enforcement. Law enforcement can hear them on radios talking about them and where they are. The other job they have is almost like an air traffic controller in the military where you bring planes together for a dogfight. It's the opposite of an air traffic controller where you keep planes apart in the civilian world, but where their job is to bring people together. That's what those scouts do when they are watching other rival cartels come to rob their people to make sure they can let them know they're about to be ambushed, or they are setting up an ambush and ambushing other cartels. So, and that's what they do. They sit in the mountains and they surveil law enforcement and rival drug cartels. And this is on American soil. This is in our country. And all of this is going to get worse. The fentanyl is going to get worse. All of it. This humane treatment. Anybody who thinks 53 dead people in a truck is humane treatment is crazy. The president was very critical of the governor of Texas for politicizing this. And I laughed when that happened, and I thought, wait a minute, hang on. I don't want to mix messages, but let's be fair. Let's be fair about this. You saw these people die. 53 people died in a truck. You didn't visit San Antonio, Texas, but you went to Uvalde, where 25 people died. So what do you mean politicize? There's politics that's everywhere. This, to me, is one of the biggest, craziest things I've ever heard of. And it's something that needs to end. What we're going to do in a moment is talk about the abortion topic, the ending of the filibuster. And there's a reason why we're going to talk about this, because you have to have a long memory in politics. And we're going to get to something in a moment. It was handled. You heard Sheriff Daniels say, we respect the Supreme Court's decision. Well, there's not so much respect on the other side for Supreme Court decisions to go against them. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. A lot of talk about Roe v. Wade and the overturning of Roe v. Wade and sending it back to the states. And the people that have lost their minds in this issue, and it goes back to your state. They didn't make anything illegal. But again, we just had Sheriff Daniels on, or our Arizona's Morning News had Sheriff Daniels on. We played the audio of it, of him saying, hey, listen, this is going to be some bad consequences, but I respect the court's decision. That's how a grown-up behaves. That's how a grown-up behaves. He went on to say why it's bad. He went on to say about the adverse effects it's going to have against the state of Arizona and the rest of the country, how he completely disagrees with it. He thinks it's wrong, but he started off by saying, I respect their decision. So I want you to hear the president of the United States talking about now what he believes is an answer to getting around what the court said and making federal law, because he wants to eliminate the filibuster.
I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be, we provide an exception for this. Require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
Huh. Interesting, because good thing we have long memories and videotape, right? Let's go back. May 23rd, 2005. Senator Biden said this.
At its core, the filibuster is not about stopping a nominee or a bill. It's about compromise and moderation. That's why the founders put unlimited debate in. That's what it's about. Engendering compromise and moderation.
Come on, man. 2005. Passionately defends the filibuster. 2022. Don't get your way. Passionately wants to end the filibuster. It's crazy what's going on. So the other thing we've been hearing about is court packing. Let's increase the size of the Supreme Court. Let's pack the court. That's the answer. Let's pack the court with liberal justices to get our country back. Senator Biden, 1983, said this.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The president had the right to do that. He was totally within his power, and his objective was seen clearly.
But it was a bonehead idea. So these are Democrats that have been around forever that have defended the filibuster over and over again. And you've heard now Joe Biden saying packing the court is a bonehead idea. As it stands now, the Biden administration has said they are not in favor of packing the courts. But we are hearing people from Elizabeth Warren to Hillary Clinton, who also was a senator. We're hearing from all of these people saying that what we need to do is find a way to get our way. We don't like the rules, change the rules. We don't like the results of an election. Let's get rid of the Electoral College and let's go and go with just a popular vote. So when you don't like the results of something, and this goes for both parties, both sides of the aisle, just because you don't like the results of something doesn't mean you change everything to put things in your favor. I've been pretty clear on my side of the aisle where I disagree with some of the things that they want to do or they are saying. And it's about time as a country we stand up and understand not everything that's done is a crisis. Not everything that's done is earth shattering. This extremism, and when I mean extremism, is in speech. When people are saying extremist things, I've used this example before. During the 8 years of the Obama administration, especially in the midterm or in the when he ran for his second term, everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, there were so many people on my side of the aisle screaming, if we reelect this guy, we'll never get our country back. If we reelect this guy, we will lose America. He is intentionally trying to gut America from the inside, and he's trying to destroy our country. This country will never survive if we reelect Barack Obama. And I kept saying, yes, we will. We're America. We will always survive. That's who we are. And what happened? Barack Obama served a second term in office. I didn't agree with any of the policies. I didn't like Obamacare. I didn't like a lot of things that were being done during that time. Donald Trump got elected 18 months later. We had the best economy we'd seen in 50 years. Lowest unemployment rate. Highest, you know, a big spike in wages. No inflation. America was back. I'm talking from a Republican point of view. I know the Democrats see it the opposite way. But telling my party, calm down, America's going to be fine. Then, for the next 4 years, we've heard Democrats screaming about how we're never going to get our country back. The world hates us. We're the worst country on the planet. I'm moving to Canada. By the way, you ever notice that those movie stars that are all going to move to Canada never say they're going to move to Mexico? You ever notice that? They never say they're going to Mexico. They're all going to go to Canada. Renounce my, now the Roe v. Wade decision. You know, F America. I'm leaving. I'm renouncing my citizenship. And those are the people that get all the headlines. Why? Because they say the most outrageous things. Well, now you've got people in very high positions. You've got a senator in Elizabeth Warren that wants to build abortion clinics on federal land. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to do it. They want to put up abortion tents. It is the most outrageous behavior because you didn't get your way. It's crazy. On both sides of the aisle, it happens. But we really need to take a deep breath and realize we don't get our... Listen, I think... My opinion, this Supreme Court decision on ending Remain in Mexico policies is going to be far more damaging in what we're going to see at our southern border and what's going to happen with deaths in the desert and of fentanyl overdoses. I think we're going to see a lot more damage to this country because of that decision. I'm not standing on top of the desk and screaming at anyone. I'm not trying to break into an office building. I'm not doing any of those things. And neither should anyone else. Coming up in a moment, we are going to have Gatos with us, and it's the Big Q poll question of the day. And after that, we are going to have Karen Taylor-Robeson, GOP candidate for governor, talking about the debate and the Supreme Court decision. All that's coming up here in just a few moments.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Good morning, Gatos.
Hey, good morning. Is it almost Friday? Because I'm ready for a little weekend action.
It is. And it's nice we've got a little extended weekend.
That's right. Independence Day, baby. That's absolutely. Right. What are your big plans there, Mike Broom?
I don't have any big plans. No big plans. I am going to relax.
That doesn't sound very fun.
Listen, it's going to be amazing. Working long hours right now, so I'm looking forward to the relax and do not much.
You going to shoot off some fireworks or anything?
No.
You don't do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I talked about this earlier this week. They printed in the newspaper, in the Arizona Republic, not in the newspaper anymore, right, but the Arizona Republic had fireworks safety tips.
Yes.
I said, how about don't? We are a tinderbox right now. We tell people not to throw cigarettes out the window or let their chains drag on a trailer because the sparks could start a brush fire. Why don't we just lay off the fireworks? You know, save the dogs a little headache and not, you know, send firefighters to send someone's backyard on fire or stop their backyard that's on fire.
Yeah, I'm scared of blowing off my finger. Because I have a softball crew to think and about. I will, I'm just saying.
Listen, and you know me, I'm the biggest redneck in this building. I love blowing stuff up. I love when stuff blows up. But I just think, you know, go watch fireworks where professionals are doing it. I can't see it ending well.
You know, they've come so far, though. You know, my neighbor goes and buys these big boxes. Mm-hmm. And you put it in the middle of the street and you light it. And it's unbelievable. It's not like a firecracker like we used to have when we were kids. I mean, this is like, this is high in the air and it's shooting up stuff. And I'm like, my goodness, that is awesome. But I am petrified to light one of those things.
My opinion is definitely the minority opinion, because my neighborhood will sound like a war zone all weekend. There's no doubt.
Your dog going to freak out?
He is. And so I will. I don't always let him sleep with me because he's big as a person. But I will let him sleep on my bed because that poor dog is going to be a nightmare.
That dog's outweighing you now.
He is a big boy. He is a big boy.
You want me to read the cue?
Yes.
Here it is. It came down late yesterday. Maybe we know what the abortion law is now in Arizona. So AG Mark Brnovich says the 1901 Arizona law, it bans abortion except to save the life of a mother. This is now the law in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask, would you like to vote on this in November? I want to vote on this in November. I don't want the Supreme Court telling us what to do. I don't want the state legislature telling us what to do. I want to go and vote for this. And, you know, if you're pro-life or you're pro-choice, let's all vote for this. You know, why should we accept a 1901 Arizona law?
Yeah, I agree.
As law of the land, it's ridiculous.
I agree with part of what you're saying, which scares us both. But the idea that we're going to go back to a 1901 law, and here's why, because everybody on my side of this, on the pro-life side of this, has been saying there has been such scientific advancements since Roe. We need to update the laws to reflect what we can do with science to have babies survive outside of the womb. So that was the reasoning for decreasing the time frame to 15 weeks because of scientific advancements. Well, if we've had scientific advancements since 1973, we've had a few since 1901.
Yeah, I don't think that we can allow this to take place. There are businesses around Arizona that you can go and sign up, put your signature down, because they're trying to get signatures of businesses all over Arizona to get it on the ballot. I want to vote on it. So I went yesterday with my wife and our daughter, and we signed up.
Okay.
Pro-life people were signing. Pro-choice people were signing. Let's vote on it. And then let's accept what the vote is.
Yeah, and the only concern I have is how it alters the Constitution, where it can't be altered by the legislature later without two-thirds. But other than that, I agree with you that people should be able to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, man. It's good talking with you. I know we got one more tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, thanks, man. That's Gatos, the Big Q poll question of the day, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, gubernatorial candidate from the GOP, Karen Taylor-Robeson, joins us to talk about the debate last night. Stick around.